The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
And here we go.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Road Show. Live from Wildcat Golf Club on Almeda, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Hello, world. Welcome into a special edition of The Blitz as Moneyline fills in. Josh Jordan, Jerry Bow out at Wildcat Golf for the ESPN 97.5 Occasional Invitational. What's going on, my man?
Nothing much, man. It's great to be out here. Really cool being on remote. Great spot for us right here. Just ready to get into it, man. Great week of sports. A lot of stuff to get into.
For you, for all you that don't know, we are Team Moneyline. We have a show on Sundays, 10 to noon. We basically talk a lot of gambling, a lot of fantasy football. And we're really similar, I guess you could say, to the Blitz. I'm a, how they say, first-time caller. I'm a long-time listener, first-time hoster. Okay, so I guess we'll see things eye to eye here, and we'll be talking a lot of gambling, a lot of funnies, and I guess there's some basketball drama going on that we got to get to.
I heard a thing or two this week. You might have to refresh my memory. The Rockets, something about them?
Something about them. 713-780-3776. We will be taking calls during this show. So if you got anything to say about the drama, the upcoming draft, and we'll be talking a lot of football, random football, not just Texan stuff. That's what our show is based off of. We try to give you odds, and what a better day than what are the odds Wednesday, right?
No doubt about it. I think it was the perfect day for us to fill in. Kind of cool being out here. Jerry, are you much of a golf guy yourself?
Well, I guess we'll start the show like this. I shouldn't even be allowed at golf courses. Like, I think every golf course in the Houston area has a picture of me saying, don't allow this guy in because I'm terrible. People get injured. I've been out a couple of times, let's say, and unfortunately, when I was young, I broke my left arm. And at the time, I guess we didn't have that great of insurance. And I remember thinking, I don't even know if this guy's a good doctor or what. Now it feels like I got two right arms, if you look at it.
Yeah.
Try golfing with two right arms. Straight up. Look at that. And I wish y'all guys could see it listening out there. So basically, whenever I go out to a golf course, and whether it be a driving range, whatever the case is, I'll aim one way, and people need to watch out in every single direction. So I've basically retired myself. I used to like go out and drink beer, you know
sure.
what I mean, and maybe hit a few balls here and there, but even that, just in this Houston heat, it got tough.
Yeah, man, it's a little hot out there today for sure, but it looks like everybody's having a great time. Beautiful course, extremely green for how hot it is. They're taking great care of the course. It really looks fantastic.
At Moneyline 97.5 is where you can find us on Twitter, at JoshJordan97.5, at JerryBowKnows, and our man Aaron is blitzed back in the studio, making sure that we got he keeps us in line here because it might get a little wild in here. We're gonna get right into it. What's going on with you, man? You want to get into this basketball because that seems like
it does.
What's been going on, right?
Quickly, let's just address Astros drop another one today before because this Rockets conversation is gonna get in depth with this stuff. But let's just quickly mention Astros get swept in Cincinnati. You know, not a great series. Looks like the bats are struggling a little bit. Jose Altuve back in the lineup today. I believe he went 0-for-4, so not exactly what you're hoping for. Really, the only big bright spot today, Michael Brantley with a 2-run home run. And then Osuna has some trouble in the ninth inning, and that's how they went down. And it's not going to get any easier, Jerry. They had to play the Yankees after this. So that's gonna be a tough one. You have to be excited, though. It looks like George Springer is going to go out on a rehab extent, you know, in Double-A, try and see how that hamstring's doing, seeing if he's back to being healthy. They sure can use him. Today was interesting. You had Bregman leading off. You don't see that very often. And you have Josh Reddick hitting cleanup. So they could definitely use some of their big boys back in the lineup, and it looks like help is coming. We had that little bit of worry about Altuve. That Twitter video came out where he was running and he slid into third base, and he didn't look great. It looked like he still had a little hitch in his giddy-up, but apparently he said he's okay, and he just kind of needs to push through it. So he was back in the lineup today. Good to have him going again. They're certainly going to need him, and got to have George Springer back too. So just wanted to touch on that a little bit. Astros struggling. But they'll have their chance against the Yankees. They're going to New York. Should be a great series coming up, and that starts tomorrow at about 6 o'clock. So just something to look forward to. It's been a while since we've had the Astros losing a series, quite some time. So, especially them getting swept. But you know what? They're still in first place by a large margin. They'll be just fine. So we'll be excited to see them play the Yankees. That could be a nice preview of the ALCS.
Two teams that are getting healthy now. They're getting all their bats back, and I'm super excited to see it.
Oh, me too. I'm looking forward to it. But you brought up the Rockets. Now that we've kind of touched on the Astros a little bit, plenty of drama here in Houston with the Rockets and the Texans, even though it's the offseason. What are your thoughts on all this Chris Paul, James Harden stuff?
I don't know what to believe. I don't know who to believe. Mm-hmm. But you hear that term, when there's smoke, there's fire. When there's a smell of boo-boo, there's doo-doo. You know what I mean? Just put it that way. So something stinks.
You're right about that.
Where is it coming from? How far does it go? I was convinced for about an hour, and then CP comes out. And when Paul posts, this is news to me.
See, I don't buy that.
And that's what I'm – because at any point, what if he told somebody close to his group and they're the ones that let it out, and now he's saying, this isn't the form that I wanted to let it out.
No doubt. And from looking at that Yahoo Sports story, just by reading it, it sounds like somebody was talking to a person in Chris Paul's camp. You know, it felt like kind of a knock on Harden, the article, in my opinion. So, and it's funny, as soon as all this stuff came out, and then Chris Paul goes to Instagram, right, to say news to me. But notice he didn't say that's not true. James Harden hasn't come out and said that's not true. And all the people that are going the other way, Daryl Morey, I believe Craig Ackerman said something about them playing cards on the plane all the time.
And that's what it is. You remember the game Telephone, right?
Sure.
So every time that somebody would say that message,
uh-huh,
it would relay and it would change a little bit more.
Yep.
In this world where we live in, where people want to break news and start drama, that I feel like the story may have been there at somewhat. Something is there, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like it's been added to more and more. Now you're talking about that they didn't speak for 2 months. But then you got Ackerman saying, I saw them playing poker on the plane. So how's that possible?
Right. But when was that? You know, we don't have any of that information. That's why I don't buy it. It also makes sense that Daryl Morey and Chris Paul are on the same page, because it seems like Chris wants out, right? And Daryl's been open to moving basically anybody besides Harden. So they have something in common. Daryl would probably like to move Chris Paul if he can get something for him, and Chris Paul wants out. So why don't we kind of stay on each other's side, you know, keep appearances? Because if Chris Paul's value goes down and everybody knows Daryl's completely desperate to move him, you're not going to get anything back. So it just makes sense that they would put out this front that, no, everything's cool because it's the best for both of them. So that's what I think is really going on here.
In honor of What Are the Odds Wednesday, What are the odds that Paul is there beginning of the season in a Rockets uniform?
Man, what's tough is if you read a lot of these reports, there's some reports saying zero people have interest, zero teams in Chris Paul.
They don't want me no more. He's like Will Smith on that episode. They don't want me.
Why don't you want me, man?
Because that's the thing. The odds, whenever we throw, we'd say, okay, odds-wise, we could throw, you know, maybe with all the talk, minus the contract talk, you could say, okay, this is a 50-50 odds. But now then you're throwing that contract to an old Paul, you say, I got to find a sucker.
Yeah. We need Uncle Phil to swoop in and give Chris Paul a big hug and get this thing taken care of. But I think they're just going to have to hold tight for a while. I mean, they don't really have any other options from what I can tell, and I don't think they're going to move James Harden at all. I mean, why would you do that? You know, Tillman Fertitta spent all that money. He's not looking to tear this thing down immediately. That just doesn't make any sense.
It's tough. It's tough because you ask yourself, what is this all just because of the losing? Obviously, winning cures all. But say they would have won, would we have heard of any of this?
No.
Say just to be at least beat the Warriors and go to the finals. Because for some reason, let me ask you this. A lot of people for some reason penciled in the Rockets as champions if they beat the Warriors, which I could very well see it that way. Yes, it's possible, but are we sure that they were going to beat Toronto?
No. I don't even know if they would have won that next round, you know, if they got past the Warriors. And who knows if Chris Paul gets hurt again if they have to play another series.
But for some reason, people have it penciled in as just, yeah, they would have won it. Or people pencil in if they would have beat the Warriors last year, that they would have. And I know that yes, that Cavaliers team was bad. But let's not forget that Cavaliers team almost stole game one, and it feels like they've shipped it in after that. You know what I mean? So not to say that they wouldn't won. Don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, we're just penciling them as champions. Beat the Warriors, and you got it. The trophy's yours. And I didn't see it that way.
No, and you're going off of a year younger Chris Paul. You know, that's what he was, you know, when he hurt that hamstring. Who knows? That's not the same Chris Paul we saw this year. He looked like a difference maker in that series where, you know, he hurt his hamstring last year. He didn't look like that same guy this year. So just to assume that they would have kept going, I don't buy it.
So this week you've heard the terms that they're the favorites now. They should be with everything that's going on the Warriors. But do you believe that?
No. No. I even heard Dell. He's right here. He was talking about this with John earlier today. And I think John was a little – Granato, I'm talking about, a little tongue-in-cheek. You know, him and Dell were kind of going back and forth on if they're the favorites or not. And I agreed with Dell when I heard it earlier today. I don't think they're the favorites. What do you have to go off of to think the Rockets are the favorite? What do you think, Dell?
It is an interesting thing that Daryl Morey's putting out there. I see the sell job that he's doing, but you distract with other things as opposed to the alleged issues inside your organization. But I don't understand – other people buying into what he's saying, only because this Rocket team, if you want me to believe that Chris Paul is going to be the same or better than he was this year, I don't see that happening. And we saw the struggles that took place throughout that Warriors series until Game 6, where he actually had a really good game. He looked like the player he was in that previous Warriors series from last year. To just expect the Rockets to be the same or better than they were this year, the other teams are not going to get better. We know the Rockets are cap-strapped, so they would have to make a trade to improve outside the mid-level exception. Who's to say a Portland doesn't add a piece? Who's to say Denver doesn't add a piece? And we already saw Utah add a piece, which has been their foil in the playoff. The Rockets have done what they wanted to Utah. Now you have a point guard who can actually play the offensive side of the ball.
Yep.
Now they're better already. Before the draft, you see a team that's better. So all the talk about being the favorite, I don't buy it. And there are teams with more flexibility that can get better before the Rockets get better.
So I agree. They're trying to speak it into existence.
Yep.
You would think it's that way, but after what happened last year, nothing could point you to say, hey, I'm going to go bet them at that price. I'll bet them. It doesn't make any sense. What makes sense is sticking with us. When we get back, we'll keep on talking about the drama. I got a little bit of – I know you listeners of the – you blitzers are degenerates of gambling by heart. That's what I am. That's what – it's like we've known each other forever. This is the first – we're not going to call it a mandate, but, hey, we met up at the ball game. We're about to gamble. I'm about to drop some picks when we get back. You're listening to The Blitz as Moneyline fills in ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Hey, guys, sports to you.
On ESPN 97.5.
Sports to you.
Shopping for a new energy provider? Triangle Energy keeps it simple.
You are listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Wildcat Golf Club on Alameda. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Welcome back to The Blitz as Team Moneyline fills in live from Wildcat Golf Course. The ESPN Occasional Invitational was a success.
No doubt about it, man. And coming off that rain out, what a perfect day to bounce back today. And it just worked out great.
713-780-3776. If you want to get in on the fun, you want to talk a little bit of Rockets drama that we just touched on briefly. We're about to get into some NFL. If you got anything you want to talk about, like I said, 713-780-3776. Feel free to tweet us, text us. We're here. Let's talk some – I guess let's finish this drama because you work in the social media side.
I do.
You said before that whenever – news breaks, you have to be real careful, extremely careful to retweet something.
Yes. You got to make sure that account is verified.
And I've fallen for it. Oh, I've been that guy that wants to break news. Say, I want to be the first one.
Yep.
Like, not everyone else has the same access to these news outlets. But either way, I've made the mistake and I learned the hard way. Now, you don't expect this from national TV, right? You figured somebody would screen this from him for somebody on the national TV level, right?
Correct. Especially something like, you know, FS1, something that big. So basically we have Skip Bayless. He got caught today. He was looking at a Twitter account. He saw a uh, He saw a report, and wasn't a real report. Wasn't accurate. It was a fake, and it's gone everywhere on social media now. Actually, if you want to watch the video, we have a great video on ESPN 97.5 Facebook. It's also on our Twitter, at ESPN 97.5. So we're about to play a little bit of the clip from the audio for you, but if you want to see the video, you can go check it out there. So let's listen to what Skip had to say.
And now I can't figure out how those two managed to stay in the same room long enough to make all those commercials together. Because the reports are this has been going on for 2 years.
Yes.
There was the one report yesterday that it got so bad in practice going back 2 years ago that Chris Paul was making fun of James' man boobs in practice to the point that he broke down in tears and had to leave a couple of practices. Man. Okay, that's when you're hitting bottom,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Hitting bottom.
Hitting bottom. Hitting bottom.
Man boobs.
Like, really? You actually go on TV believing that James had to leave practice crying because Chris Paul made fun of his man boobs.
When you read that, you have to go ahead and check that. You know what I mean? There are certain things that you read and it might slide by you, but when it comes to man boobs
and crying?
Crying. You have to say, why haven't I heard this before?
Yes.
Let me check some sources.
Yes, but it's Skip, right? I mean, he can get away with anything. It looks like he's getting a little contagious. Maybe he's been hanging around Stephen A. Smith a little too much, his former TV partner. Stephen A. Smith's got a couple things wrong, you know, the last few months.
Well, on Sunday for our show, he had just broke some saying that there was turmoil. And remember, I specifically spoke about Stephen A. Smith's comments. And
yes.
I said, I don't know if it's true. And then a whole bunch of other outlets now say, yeah, it is true. And they're coming out with their own sides. And then I saw Stephen A. Smith said there's nothing going on.
See, that's why I think there's definitely something going on. Stephen A. came out with this days ago, and then more and more reports keep coming out. And, look, it makes me think it's one of the – and a lot of people have speculated this, but it's maybe one of these guys that the Rockets let go. They let go of some assistant coaches. They let go of some video guys. It makes a lot of sense that maybe one of these guys is, you know, a spurned employee that got fired and they have an axe to grind. But that doesn't mean they're not telling the truth. You know what I'm saying? Like, he could be upset that he got fired, but that doesn't mean what he's saying didn't happen between Chris Paul and
someone who's been, I guess, trusted in telling the truth in the last week. We saw Austin Rivers.
Yeah.
He seemed real truthful, right, whenever he went on TV. He said a lot of things that the fans didn't know as far as when KD got hurt, what the Rockets' thoughts were.
Yeah.
And last night he was interviewed outside a restaurant about the ongoing situation, and this is what he had to say.
I don't know where that's coming from. It's a lot of fantasy tales being told right now.
Okay, so it's not true?
No, it's definitely not true. I didn't see any issues between any of them. I think that's just made up news, fake news, like most of the stuff you see on these Instagram pages, man.
Okay.
Who's lying here? Someone is lying.
Dude, I have no proof, but I think the Rockets are lying, but they should be. They're supposed to put up a united front. They want to make it look like everything is fine here. And Daryl's trying to protect what he's built. You know, if they can, he's just trying to keep everything cool while he tries to get everything back together. Just get everything moving in the right direction. Try and get everybody to relax a little bit behind the scenes and hopefully just work through it. And look, any GM would be probably doing this, right? It's the best thing for the franchise because you're not getting anything for Chris Paul. The best chance the Rockets have for next year is to try and do this again.
But at the same time, you're lying straight up to people's faces, right? Because you could say all the right things.
Sure.
And they're saying all the right things, but at the same time, you're sitting there lying to the people's faces.
Yeah.
Something's going on.
We see this in football press conferences. Hey, is something wrong with his knee, Todd Gurley? No, he's fine. He's fine. Yeah. No, he's fine. Oh, are you sure? Like, he doesn't look fine, and you're not playing him as much as he used to. No, he's fine. Then after the season, oh, he's dealing with some arthritis in that knee, and he's not going to tote as many carries this year. We're going to manage him a little bit. We're going to draft a running back in the third round.
What changed, Josh?
Yeah,
what changed?
Nothing changed. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't want to go into a game with somebody knowing your right knee is bothering you. They're going to try and hit that knee, whatever it is. So you're just trying to be competitive. You're going to lie from time to time. It's part of doing business.
Speaking of business, let's transition over to some NFL talk, and let's go around the league because there's a lot to talk about.
Let's do it.
Around the NFL.
What's happening?
On the opposite side of the spectrum, on a positive note, let's talk Saints. And they're having conversations with Michael Thomas on a new deal.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just say, hey, that guy deserves it.
Sure.
Hands down, I would pay him. What are your thoughts on this?
I think you have to. And that's why I think that, you know, the Texans were smart to lock up DeAndre Hopkins when they did, because now it looks like Michael Thomas is going to get even more money. But that's how it works in the NFL, right? The guy that gets his deal, you know, the most recent is going to be the most amount of money. He's a great player. He's a big guy, big hands. And Drew Brees, he can't really push the ball down the field nearly as well as he used to. He really needs a nice possession receiver that can, you know, get in on some slant routes, pick up some first downs. I think it's a smart move.
You say all the perfect things when you describe him. Big 6'3", yep. Runs a 4.5,
yep.
And then a 77% catch rate. The guy doesn't drop balls.
No.
That's what's so fantastic about him.
He's great at getting open on those underneath routes, and he's got a big body to shield away defenders. So he's a fantastic receiver. It makes a lot of sense. And if you want to keep him, that's what you're going to have to pay him. So do it now, right? Because we hear these rumblings about, you know, Jalen Ramsey with the Jags and how he's going to make them pay full price this year because they could have locked him up last season.
And you know he is.
Yeah, and you know he is, and they decided not to. So smart move by the Saints. Do it now.
Now, this is the real world, but a lot of us live in a fantasy world.
Sure.
Where do you put Michael Thomas this year? Because a lot of places have Hopkins as the top receiver, and he's going in the first round. So where do you have Thomas as far as receivers? Do you have him ahead of a Julio?
He's right there. I'd probably put him right behind Julio. So, you know, I think Hopkins, Julio, and then Michael Thomas and Devontae Adams right there, whichever guy you like. But after you get past those top six really good running backs, you know, whether you like Melvin Gordon or not, all those receivers are going to go right there. So probably back into the first round, early second round, Michael Thomas, especially if you're in a PPR league, he's going to catch a lot of balls.
And you mentioned that the agent, I guess, Brees, and not so much that – well, we saw that they said last year he might have been injured, his arm, and that's why he had lost so much of it towards the end of the year.
Sure.
We saw that the offense has changed. It's become a little bit more run-heavy. We'll see how it goes this year with Ingram gone.
Yeah.
But we know that Thomas is that big target.
He is.
About 7.5 yards per reception run, you know, the target, average distance of target. So – that's his spot. That's his safe spot. That's his outlet. But how long does Brees keep playing at a decent level? Because we saw it drop down towards the end of the season last year.
No doubt.
And at this point, I was looking into his contract situation, and they've gone out and said, we're going to kind of play year by year. So
yeah, they should.
As they should.
Yeah. And he wants to stay there. That's a good fit. I really love them picking up Jared Cook. That gives you another really big body to play tight end, get him on the inside. They really haven't had a breakout guy there since Jimmy Graham left. So I think Jared Cook be a good fit. Maybe take a little bit of pressure off of Michael Thomas, and you got Kamara coming out of the backfield. So you just keep rolling with the Saints, man. I mean, if not for that debacle, you know, in the playoffs, think how far they could have gone. So I think you just, you know, you pull from the Rockets playbook here and you run it back if you're the Saints.
All right, in favor of what are the odds Wednesday?
Yep.
Who lasts longer? Who calls it quits first? Let's say Brees or Tom Brady?
Ooh. I think Tom's only going to play this year and that's going to be it. I just have a feeling. I know he plans to go longer, but I think Brees will do two more years and Tom will do one more year.
Because I wanted to go back and I looked up all their stats, and they're pretty much been in the league around the same year. They're 1 year within each other of age. And I asked myself, which one's going to call it quits? Which one has the – let's say if the Saints win a Super Bowl, would that make Brees say, yeah, I'm done now? Because I thought that was maybe going to happen with Brady, and it made him eat more avocado ice cream, and here he is. We're never going to get rid of this guy. We are never going to get rid of him.
And you're never going to get rid of us, right? We're going to be back after this.
Yeah, we'll be back. You're listening to Moneyline as we fill in for the Blitz, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Can you dig it?
Dig it,
sucker!
Sucker! Sucker.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Wildcat Golf Club on Almeda, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Bauer and A.J. Hoffman.
Welcome back to the Blitz. Team Moneyline in the building. The squad is here at Josh Jordan 97.5 at Jerry Bo Knows. And we got a special guest here.
We do.
I don't even need to introduce him other than King Booker.
They know. all the brothers know. All the ladies, they know that Booker T's in the house.
We got Booker T joining us here on the Blitz. And he was out here hitting golf balls. And I'm going to tell you the truth. So,
man.
In case you don't know, Booker's got his Hall of Fame show Monday through Wednesdays, 9 to 11. I'm the producer of that show. Whenever we started that show, when I would hear Booker talking about playing golf, I never put one and one together. I never thought you were a golf guy.
Hey, man, I love the game, but I got beat up today. I got knocked around a little bit. It was rough out there. You know, this course is, excuse me, it's a little different now because it's got to suit your eye. You know, I mean, it's a lot of blind shots out here. And but I had a great time. Anytime on the golf course is better than any day at the office. So it was awesome, awesome time.
So how'd you swing it today? Pretty good? You happy with your play?
Nah, man, I'm not happy with my performance today. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was the heat. And, you know, and I'm an island brother. You know what I mean? I'm Mandingo, you know, straight from the Zulu tribe. And I went out there, that heat beat me up today, bro.
It's tough.
It was tough, but I don't know. Golf is one of those things that is rhythm. You know, it's, so much of the game is mental. You know, the physicalities come into play when you you know, mess it up, and then you try to find it, and then you start swinging this way, and you start swinging that way, and then everything goes haywire. So, but my thing is, man, you know, it was all, you know, a good time, all fair and love and war. We had a good time. You know, I know so many guys out there. They was cheating left and right. You know, I'm watching guys, you know, taking three or four tee shots apiece. You know, I mean, we got so backed up at one time. You know, I was like, guys just, you know, taking provisional mulligans. You know what I mean? They start making up names, you know what I mean, for the mulligan. You know, it's a provisional mulligan if I don't find my ball. It was one of those type of deals, you know what I mean? So, but I had a great – some guys probably going to come in at 10.5, 12.5 under. You know what I mean? Not 12, not 10, but 10.5, 12.5. They just start making up scores, you know. So, but it's a good time.
We have two-time Hall of Famer Booker T joining the Blitz right now, and I wanted to get you on here because a lot of people don't understand how much of a man of many traits you are, whether it's wrestling or boxing, MMA. I'm amazed, like I said, whenever I start producing the show and they ask me, hey, you're going to be producing the Hall of Fame, I thought to myself, I don't know the first thing about wrestling. Like, I've watched it. I'm old school wrestling, sure. You know what I mean? So I said, I don't know how I'm going to relate to this. First show goes in, and Booker's more of a story. He's a bona fide storyteller. That's what he is.
Yeah, we
get into about a subject, and we just end up going some complete different direction. So right now I'm going to do it like the way we do it on the show, and we're going to freestyle it. Speaking of bad conditions, what's the worst condition that you ever had to wrestle in? Like one thing.
Oh,
that you're
man,
saying, hey.
I was in Mexico, man. I felt like them boys was in Saudi Arabia caught a couple of weeks ago. It was so hot, man. I remember we were sitting under these tents, man. It was so hot, and it was probably 103, 104. And I remember one of the guys walked by me, and he goes, I've seen that look before. And it was a look that I was literally going to quit the company that day. That's how bad it was. I mean, and the conditions was, you know, it was terrible. And we had to go out and perform in that. But I've performed in where it was a storm coming down, you know what I mean, and lightning strike, you know, and it's on television where we could not go out there and do it. So it's just part of the game with professional wrestling. You find yourself in situations, you just got to, you know, work your way through them.
You know, there's been a little beef with the Rockets we're hearing.
James Harden. I'm sitting here looking at T-Mac, you know, posted up on the wall. You know, I remember the good old days. But go ahead. What's your question?
Well, I was going to ask you, you know, it's reported James Harden, Chris Paul not really getting along.
Yeah, man.
In your line of work, are there any guys you had to wrestle with? I'm not going to ask you who, but maybe you didn't get along with them, but you had to work with them.
Hey, man, I didn't like any of those guys, to be honest, you know. it was very few guys that I liked. coming up throughout my wrestling career. I mean, after the career is over with, you know, we're pretty cool. But when the wrestling career was going on, it was hard and heavy. It was a competition. You know, we were competing with each other, you know, but we were competing against each other to make each other better at the same time because we wanted to go out there and, you know, shock and amaze the fans, you know. And speaking of James Harden, you know what I mean? Just imagine if he worked that way with Chris Paul as far as going out there and working together and going out there, and, you know, and teamwork is the dream work, man. I'm just saying. But it would be a beautiful, beautiful team.
Yeah, for sure. So being from H-Town and being around for so long, what's it been like for you, Booker, carrying the torch of putting Houston on your back? Because whenever I hear people call and to the show, and they always start with, man, you've been a big influence on my life as far as you've given me the opportunity to dream because I know your story. And then they say, I know you've had to grind and I know you've had some struggle and you made it. And being from Houston, it puts you in touch with reality. Like, I see Booker every day. And I told you yesterday, I forget you're Booker T sometimes because the way that you speak to me,
well,
it's like a normal conversation.
You know, my mother told me a long time ago, it don't cost you nothing to be nice to folks. You know what I mean? And it take you so far in life. Do you know how much stress it is on you when you nasty to people and mean all the time? You know, you don't want no one to come up to you. It takes so much energy out of you to be that way. And for me to represent Houston, to put Houston on my back, you know, so many young kids like I was once upon a time, you know, looking for someone to look up to, looking for someone to pat me on the back and say, man, you did a great job. You know, that goes so far in life, and you just don't realize how far it goes if you have not walked in those shoes. And for me, I can only imagine, man, you know, if I was told, man, you could finish high school. You could do that. I know I would have did it. You know, I remember I had a chance, when my mother passed, I thought I was going to move with my brother. And my brother, I looked up to him like crazy. And then when it came time for me to move in, something happened. I didn't get a chance to move in with my brother. And my life flipped upside down. And I can only imagine if I had my brother, at that point in time and pulled me in and told me, Junior, you could do anything you want to do in this life. You know I would have did it just because he told me I could do it, not because I thought I could do it myself. Sometimes young people don't know what they can do unless someone pull it out of them. You know what I mean? And I think being in the position I am now, able to tell that kid, hey, you could do whatever you want to do in this life. And if Booker T did it, trust me, you can do it. It makes it a whole lot easier for that kid to see light at the end of the tunnel.
And I listened to your Hall of Fame speech, and you talked about how much of an influence your brother was, and you always wanted to be like your brother. And unfortunately, he stopped wrestling. You continued his dream, and I watched that whole speech. And
hey, man. It was a great time, you know, for me and my brother to actually be on that stage, but for me to give my brother that moment, and that's what, you know, great teams are about too, you know what I mean? You know, shining the spotlight on each other. I think that's what really, really, truly makes a good team. If everybody get a chance to shine, and for my brother to have that moment, you know, after all these years, you know, walking me to the front door of the wrestling business, and you know, letting me go out there and shine, it was only right for me to, you know, give that moment to him and let him shine.
Another thing that stuck out about that speech, you said that the first time y'all went up to sign, I guess, the contract or talk about it, you had a cell phone in a bag?
Yeah.
What was that about? I could not stop laughing when you said that.
I used to carry this big cell phone around with me all the time. It was so big, man. It was like a suitcase. You know, that's how big it was. And it was so crazy. I had that thing for so long, man. I didn't want to get rid of it either, man. And I stashed it in the closet one day, right? I stashed it in the closet. And I was like, man, I'm going to just hold on to it because all the new cell phones was coming out and stuff and whatnot, you know. But I was like, man, I don't want to get rid of it, man. I think it was a storage or something. I went and found it, right? I said, man, I'm going to see if they can hook it up for me. And and I took it in to hook it up, man. And a big roach came running out. That cell phone, man, it was sitting in the storage for like about 2 years, man. But I was the first guy who had GPS on the road, man. Big GPS, big Garmin, man, on the top of the dash, man. It's like a big television, but that's always been me, man. I've always been the gadget guy. I've always been about, you know, you know, just being Johnny on the spot, you know, being on time, you know. More importantly, man, smiling and laughing and having fun. You know, I think that's, you know, the most important thing in life is being able to laugh every day, be able to find some laughter. And it'll make you younger. It'll set the clock back a little bit. You know, trust me on that. It will set the clock back a little bit if you could just find a little laughter every day.
Like I told you, Blitzers, I'm just running with it. We're freestyling it because that's the way we do our show. So let me ask you another one now you say that. I know before I even met you and I started producing for you, I would know when Booker T was around because he would always roll up in a sports car.
Yeah, man. Heck yeah.
What was the first sports car you purchased whenever you got some real money and you said, man, I got some money, my pockets are full, I wanted this car. This is the car I'm
grabbing. It's crazy, man. I used to ride around this 79 T-Bird, man. Nice. It was gray, and the paint on it was – you know, it had been in the sun so long. If you run your finger across it, your finger would turn white. You know, I had like all ball tires on it and whatnot. You know, I didn't even have an inspection sticker on that T-Bird. Now, I got in the restaurant business. I had an autograph signing down at the Summit, where Lakewood Church is right now. And you know, and I was so embarrassed to go to this autograph signing because I was like, man, where am I going to park it? So I rolled up in front of the Summit, and there was a police officer out there, and he says, "What do you?" Well, he said, "I'm here with WWE. What do I park it with the wrestling?" He goes, "Oh, you're a celebrity. We'll park it for you." And I was so embarrassed. I was like, "Oh man, I didn't want anybody to get in the car." They got in the car. They parked it for me. And after that, you know, my boss, you know, and I told him that story, and he was like, "You know, I'm gonna help you get a car." And my first car, man, was a Z28, man. 1989 Z28. And it was so sweet, man. I had it up until about 3 years ago. Really? I didn't want to get rid of it. And when I would ride it, only music that I would play in it was Tupac. I wouldn't play anything. It was like Christine. The movie, the old red car. I mean, it was like that, man. It was like a part of me. And for so many years, man, I actually told my wife, I said, "Baby, when I die, I want you to bury me in this car." And then I was like, "Man, let me sell this car, man, and forget about the past and think about the future and the present." And I finally got rid of it, man. But that 86 Z28, man, awesome. Took me all over the world, man, all over the world.
Well, I got to ask you, what's the most rewarding? Was it getting in the Hall of Fame or – maybe a moment, a match in your career that it sticks out the most for you?
Most gratifying for me throughout my tenure, man, is 2003 I got a chance to go to Iraq, and I got a chance to perform right inside the danger zone, man, right inside the war zone. You know, we was in this bombed-out stadium at this spot called Camp Spiker, and it was an awesome, awesome trip, man. My friend of mine was in Iraq the year before. He was training the Iraqi boxing team. His name's Termite Watkins, and he was there, and he called me on a satellite phone. He said, "Hey, Book, I got this kid want to talk to you," and I was like, "Man, put him on, man." We was talking and whatnot. And he was so excited, and I was like, "Man, I said, tell you what, just keep your head down. Maybe when you get back to the States, man, I'm sure, you know, we'll be doing a show for you sometime." He's like, "Man, awesome, awesome." Year later, I find myself in Iraq on a 5-day tour, going all over the place, flying on a Black Hawk helicopter. It was about midnight one night after we had did all of our, missions, you know, that we would call it, going around, whatnot, shaking hands, kissing babies, whatnot. And I was walking to the latrine. Literally, it's about 500 soldiers on this base. I'm walking to the latrine, and it's so dark out in the desert, you have to wear one of those green lances around your neck just so guys could identify you. And I'm walking, you know, walk a few paces, it's dark, walk a few paces, it's light, walk a few paces, it's dark, walk a few paces, it's light. We come together right under this light, and this kid goes, "Hey, Booker, man, I know you." And I go, "Yeah, man, I'm Booker T, man. We're going to be doing a show for you guys tomorrow." And he goes, "Nah, man, Termite Watkins, last year, I'm the kid you talked to on the phone."
Wow.
And I was like, "You got to be kidding me."
Small world.
I was like, "You got to be." I had goosebumps, man. I said, "There is a God, man, because I don't even know what the chances are, the odds of me running into that kid at that base a year later would have been." But that truly told me it was a God, as well as I performed in 40-degree weather, and it felt like it was 75 degrees. So God must have kept me warm.
Well, I want to really thank you for joining us, Booker. After a long day of golf, I wasn't even going to expect you. I know we had spoke about coming in here. I said, man, I'm not going to.
Look, man, I told you, bro. Look here. Always journey on the spot. Get someone. Do it like it's supposed to be done. Make them pay my son. Make them bow down. Make them say, Daddy, I don't want none. I had enough. Hey, man, we in the blitz, and I'm out this mug.
Thanks a lot. That was Booker T. If you want to hear more from him, 9 to 11 tonight. It's going to go down. Hall of Fame. We'll be back on the Blitz. It's Moneyline filling in. ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz, on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to an ESPN 97.5 road show live from Wildcat Golf Club on Alameda. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Welcome back to the Blitz. No Fred, no A.J. Josh Jordan, Cherry Bow Nose with a Z. Out live at Wildcat Golf Course. Occasional Invitational, ESPN 97.5. Wrapping up here, we had Booker T on last segment. If you didn't get to catch it, go back on Podcast Arena and check it out. He's fantastic. He also hosts his own show here, 9 to 11, Monday through Wednesday. If you want to hear more of those stories, I wanted to have him on, not just to ask him, all right, what do you think about this specific subject, and let's talk wrestling. I wanted to let you know that show is everything but just wrestling. And like I said, when I went to produce it, I thought to myself, I don't know anything about wrestling, and he just talks. He's a bona fide storyteller. He gets into a subject, and he just ends up going. So for all you guys that want to check it out, go back on Podcast Arena.
Yeah, definitely. Man, he lights up the phone lines too, right, Jerry? It's a very popular show. So, and you can watch it on Twitch tonight. It should be available. Of course, right now we're on location, so you can't watch the show today. You can just listen on the stream if you're not going to be in your car. But, no, I mean, that was really great. That was my first time to meet him, you know, and – especially around the early 2000s, man. I was really into wrestling. So really cool to get to meet him today.
Bucket list check.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something else you can check on tonight. Late Hits with Patrick Creighton coming on right after the Blitz at 7 p.m. My man Creighton's going to rock out for us, so be sure to stay into that. We have two shows, late night programming. It doesn't stop here.
No, local programming on ESPN 97.5, so stick with us.
Now, we have a short segment here, so let me go ahead and just get to the text line real quick. What are the odds that Clowney is here come training camp?
Ooh. Like he comes and signs his franchise tag, I guess, is what we're saying?
Actually, let me word it better. What are the odds that the Texans ship Clowney out before the start of the season?
Ooh. I'm going to say 30% from what I heard. They had an opportunity and an offer on the table a while back ago. I heard around the time the Frank Clark deal went down that there was some talks about a deal being in place for Clowney, and that might have been one of the reasons that, you know, the Texans were upset that Brian Gain didn't pull the trigger. You know, that I heard that. I'm not reporting that, but that's what I heard. So I think if that was going to happen, they would have done it already. So I'm going to say 30%. I think it would take something crazy to happen. You know, just somebody really overpay for him for anything to happen now. Because here's the deal. Trading him now with the draft being over, you're not helping the team for this year, right? You know, just trading Clowney, and I doubt you're going to get some great player in return. It's probably going to be draft picks. So you're not helping the team for this year, and I think they're going to try and come out and win this year early because they need to. So I think he sticks with the team. I'll say 30%. What do you think?
I'd say around that 20, 30% also low, because I figured if it was going to happen, it would have happened already.
Yeah.
If they missed a few chances, then that hurts, because that forward deal, that's something that I would be looking for to ship off Clowney. It would take something like that.
Absolutely. The D Ford trade happened, and the Frank Clark trade between Seattle and the Chiefs. I mean, man, they overpaid like crazy. If the Texans could have gotten something like that, ooh, that would have made me happy as a Texans fan. But, oh well, it didn't go down. I think he'll be back.
And that's what I was meaning is the Frank Clark. Excuse me, not the D Ford, but the Frank Clark. That's the one that kind of said, whoa, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Can the Texans potentially do this for Clowney?
Right. And so I think they missed their window there. So they hope they get him back. And say what you want to say about Clowney. He's a superstar player, man. People that watch the NFL know who Jadeveon Clowney is. So you want to keep those guys.
Also, a lot of news has been breaking – not only in the Rockets organization, but also the Texans. And a new report came out. CBS dropped something, and when we get back, we're going to talk about it because it makes a lot of sense. Now the puzzle pieces are starting to come together. You want to hear this. When we get back, we'll talk about it. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.